what a blessing to see Charlotte here this morning, and Susan. And
you know, Keith, in the Bible it says where two or three titanium knees are gathered.
Yeah. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Two or three titanium knees are gathered together. But anyway, well, we have been trying one way or another to get over to see Susan, pray with her, and we've been trying desperately to get up to see Charlotte, and we have not succeeded. And old age is not an excuse. But we thought, well, today for sure, after church, we're going to go over and pray with Charlotte. And Charlotte's in the service. God bless you. Candy and Pablo. Oh, Candy, I'm going to give her a little bit of her testimony. But she was up at the school, I think. And she saw a woman that was, I think she knew who the woman was, but the woman was in tears. And
yeah, she lives over there. In the
yeah, she just lives down the road of us. And anyway, and they were destitute and whatever. She prayed with the woman, and then they gave her some money. I'm not sure what. But anyway, it just really affected the two. I mean, they were in a desperate position, and her and her husband. And she went over to see him, and they made this statement, a common statement. They said, you know what? We have been wanting to go down and visit that church for a long time. And I thought, I wonder how many other people that the Lord is holding, he's holding them back. You know why?
We're not ready. Huh? Why aren't we ready?
Because we're not ready yet. And you know what? We're not ready. And that's not because we're really slow pokes. We're slow, but I mean, that's not really the big reason. The reason is you only develop at a certain pace, and that's all you can do. And I have some of the most phenomenal understanding this morning, I think, that I've ever had. And it's in my spirit somewhere. And so let's... Maybe I can, some of it will come out. But anyway, we are impressed with numbers. I'm getting less impressed, but humanity, we are impressed with numbers. But you know that God is not. That doesn't impress him. And I tell you, I got a scripture for you to set it in motion. It's in Romans 3:4. And you know the verse very well. You've heard it a lot of times. But anyway, it says, let God be true. But and most of the men liars. That's not what it says. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So on the day of judgment, will God have select groups? I mean, will there be those that... well, I mean, there are those that escape judgment, of course, but he won't have the Lutherans over here and the Baptists over. I mean, that's not what's going to be on the day of judgment. And if a whole denomination is nutso, just because there's lots of them, is that going to impress God? That's the question. Or is judgment going to be based upon God's something or other? And we're beginning to understand what the something or other is. Jesus said that, he said, he told the Jews, he said, I don't judge you, but the words that I speak do. And you think, wait a minute, how could he say that he's not judging, and yet he says the words that I speak do judge you? Because the words that I speak are not from me. And you know, in John 14, where Philip asked Jesus, he says, show us the Father. You know, and then in verse 9, Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long time with you and you don't know who I am? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And then verse 10, see, people miss verse 10, the next one after that. And he says, the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does. And here's how he changes this. And it took me a while to understand that. The Father that dwells in me, he does the works. And as I thought, what's that got to do with the words? We changed words into works. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. The words that Jesus spoke, you know how the Jews said, what a word is this? What kind of words are these? By his words, demons come out. By his words, the water is stilled. By these words, but these, he says, the words that I speak, I'm not doing this by myself. Of myself, he says, in one place, is I can do nothing. But the words that I speak not of myself. And I'm saying that to say that it doesn't matter how many people agree with God or don't agree with God. On the day of judgment, God does the deciding. And so here we are. And this morning I got a new appreciation for the Word of God. I've been doing that day by day by day, and so have you. We're getting a new appreciation. Peter said, in the second chapter of Peter, he says, by these exceeding great and precious promises. Now, I tell you what, I'm going to quote it, King James wise, and you tell me how this makes any sense. By these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature. Well, then it's not up to us. Or is it? By these exceeding great and precious promises, we become partakers to God's divine nature. Let me tell you something. If we ignore them, we're not going to become.
That's right.
Because by the... Jesus said, if you continue in my words, you're going to become... You're my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What if you don't continue in his words? What if you continue in some man's private interpretation? Is it going to work the same way? You know what I'm saying? It only works according to God's system. There's a verse in the 8th chapter of Romans where it says, to as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And I thought, what if they're not led by the Spirit? Are they still the sons of God? I'm going to say something without getting too pointed in this. I don't think the people that I'm going to mention are ever going to hear this. But I know some people, some sweethearts, and they have their own system, and they're not, you know, I don't even know what denomination they are. I know that they believe in the Trinity. A lot of things I don't know. But anyway... I've had a lot of relationship with them over the years, and they're good friends. I love the people, and they go all over the country ministering deliverance, which we helped them to get started. And I taught deliverance to these people, and anyway, and my thought was okay, so. They're doing things in the Trinity. They're doing things all over the country, everywhere. And they minister deliverance, and they see healings. They see all kinds of things. And but there's an awful lot of self-directed things. Okay? Are you following me? And I'm thinking to myself, Now, God is a judge. God's a righteous judge. On the day of judgment, everything that God judges will be exactly righteous and perfect and true. I make mistakes. God doesn't. And so, at the same time, the thing that affects me every time that I get some kind of a contact is the thing that affects me is it does not sound to me like the Spirit is leading in this thing. And would the Spirit of God lead and guide people into false doctrine? It's like that. That's my question. Or do we have a problem? And so Jesus or Peter said, "By these exceeding great and precious promises." And so my thoughts are then, how do the promises affect us so that we become, so that we, it says we become partakers of God's divine nature. How do we get His nature then? Don't we have to avail ourselves of those promises? Are we just going to, on the day of judgment, just going to luckily be judged righteous and be partakers of God's divine nature? Or does it happen here? It says, you know, it says it has not yet appeared what we're going to be like, but when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We are going to become something close to what He right now is somehow. But the promises cannot be avoided. I mean, it's like here's the promise. So what did God do supernaturally to us and to a lot of other people? He opened us up to the intake of the Word of God. So we play it day and night. My wife and I have it going day and night. And I was thinking this morning, I was up here praying and Joanne had come up and she put her hands on me and she was praying for me. And I thought, you know what? There's such a closeness developing between us that I can understand how the Bible says that they shall become one flesh. I can understand that. And I thought, how close does this get? I never recognized this. I never saw it. I never understood it. But I understand. I mean, by me not being able to be out of my wife's sight, practically, being hardly being able to walk on my own. But anyway, there's a closeness that's developed. Okay? What kind of a closeness does God want us to have with Him? This is just in the natural. But this is also because of the Word of God. The Word of God is creating that. What exactly, how do we become partakers of God's divine nature by this Word, unless this Word becomes our life? Do you follow me? This Word has got to become who we are. Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. For the words that I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the works." Those are His words, which causes the works. Are you following me? These words, God has given us a blessing that I don't know. I don't know if we really appreciate it. We don't. I can say that. We don't really appreciate what God has done for us. He's given us a word that is eternal. That, you know what it is? It is truth. Jesus said, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through your truth." See, let God be true, but every man a liar. "Sanctify them through your truth," not Keith Gunn's truth, not the truth of the church, not the truth of men. "Sanctify them through your truth." And then He says, "Because your word is truth." And so, this word in me, Jesus said in John 15, He says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, How does it do that unless we let it in?
No.
If my word abides in you, you know what the promise is? And we used to sing this out of, we didn't have it in step with the word of God. We used to sing a song. It says, ask what you will and it shall be done. Trust and obey, believe and then say. You know what I mean? And we left out the most vital part. So if my word abides in you, it lives in you. If my word is what's in you, and I'm going to say, if my word is all that's in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done. And we say, well, why don't we see all the miracles and why don't we see all of these things happening? Because we still have too much of man's word in us. I still have too much of Keith Gunn's word in me. And that's why that answers the question. Why don't we see a big influx? And I'm saying, I am so glad we don't. We got to get ready. We got to get to the place where we're like Peter. He prayed for the man at the gate, beautiful. And he come in and, you know, and the guy was healed and he's jumping around and leaping around and praising God. And they started to praise Peter and he said, don't give me any praise for this. I'm a man. The Jesus Christ that you guys decided to put up on a cross, he's the one that healed them. You know what I'm saying? It's like we got to get to the place where God gets all the glory. And I don't think we're still quite there. We think we are, but I'm not so sure. I look at myself and I think, you know, I think I'm there. And I'm thinking, don't toot any horns yet. This is a lot better.
Yeah, I guess this works, doesn't it? We're moved the pulpit down off the platform onto the floor. You can see me all right, can't you? I want to read a scripture. It is John 3:16. Perhaps you're familiar with it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, just generally, that sounds pretty inclusive.
Yeah.
It sounds, well, the world. You know. But, you know, you get that when the scripture's running, number of hours a day. Boy, the message that you take away is there's a whole bunch of them and just kind of a few of the ones. You know? It's such a theme, at least in the gospel. There's so much conflict between those who don't get it and then the ones who do get it. I remember when I first, before I was saved, I thought, yeah, I'm going to try reading the Bible a little bit. Yeah. Just see what's in there, kind of. And so I read the book of Matthew. And I thought, oh, Jesus keeps wailing away on those poor Pharisees. Hey, whiz, you know, it just keeps going on and on. You know. All right, already. You know. That was my natural man reaction to all the stuff that was going on. And while I was wrong, yet there was something to that. There's just a huge amount of conflict in the Gospels, and it is such a theme that a whole bunch of the people that are wrong. And not, yeah, just a few that are right. Why does the path, why does the road that leadeth to destruction Narrow is the path. That's such a theme. And yet, we best not forget John 3:16. You know, he loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know. And haven't we just found that we are to maintain two opposite things simultaneously? You know? Yes, he's a God of grace. And yet, there's righteousness that we are to maintain. You know? Oh, yes, we need his mercy. And yet, it's just the way he set it up. And if we say, which is it? Tell me which it is so I'll know how I'm supposed to think. We don't get it. That's not it. That's just not it. That's just not it. I think his ways are higher than our ways. And he gives us an opportunity to kind of stretch our ways by having these two opposite things going on all at the same time. That gives us a little bit of inkling of what the ways that his ways are higher than our ways. Yeah. It's two opposite things going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I personally kind of like it, but... But I can see if people could be a little bothered by that. Mm-hmm.
Step up. God is good, and I want to give him all the glory for all that happened through me with the surgery. I let man, and I mean man as in me, get in the way a lot of how I was feeling. I was angry, disappointed, discouraged, all these things. It had nothing to do with what God was doing in with me. And part of that's probably why I didn't even come to church last Sunday, even though I'm not up to 100%. I just have to give him the honest to goodness complete glory, because I hate hospitals. I don't do well in hospitals. There's nothing. And I prayed and prayed that God would keep me in the hospital. And from the moment I got into the hospital room, there was just a peace. There was a peace the whole time I was in there. The nurses came in. They'd spend a lot of time in there. I think they felt that there was a comfort in there. I mean, and for me, it was totally God who just kept me the whole time, because I didn't do well in is that pre-op where they're poking you and everything. I was starting to panic. I was ready to call quits. And even after I came out of recovery, they had to go get Corky because I was ready to go home. I wasn't handling it well. But I got in my hospital room, and there was just like this peace. So I have to give all the glory to God, because he can't take it away, no matter how I was feeling as a human. I was feeling all these emotions and all these things, but I didn't feel them while I was necessarily there. I felt them when I came home, but there's no getting around the fact I just have to give God the glory that he hears our prayers. And I thank you if you prayed for a half a second, gave me a thought or whatever, it didn't matter. God heard everything. And that is, to me, the most important thing, that we don't have to fall on our faces for the next, 15 years and just lay there. God hears everything, no matter how we say it, no matter how we come about, as little or as minor as you could be walking through your day and all of a sudden go, oh, you know, I Charlotte's always been on my heart for a long time because of the double knee thing. I don't know how she did it. But but I'll be walking along and just think of Charlotte. It has nothing to do with me. God is the one who's hearing our prayers over and over again. How simple, how little they'd be. So I just want us to remember that when we pray for somebody and we're not spending 15 hours in prayer over that one person, it doesn't matter. And if we are spending 15 hours in that prayer over a person, that's great. God hears the minute things. He heard the desires of my heart. And He blessed me beyond blessings to get into that hospital room and make it almost seem like a Holiday Inn. It was just, I was so comfortable. There was a peace. I can't express it enough. That's just not my MO. Anybody who knows me, I want to get out of there and get out of there as fast as I can. And they wanted to keep me one more day. And I would have normally just fought that tooth and nail. And I'm like, no, I'm just going to trust God. And this is what He's doing in my life. And this is what He's going to be doing in my life. And like I said, no matter how I felt, my own flesh came into me afterwards, and no matter how I felt, I just did not want to not give God the glory, because God deserves the glory no matter how man takes over and makes something different in proportion. So believe that when you pray for somebody, no matter how minute it is or how great it is, it doesn't matter. God hears. He loves to hear from us. So keep praying. No matter what it is, God's going to answer your prayer. So.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
When I saw this down here, my natural thoughts were, concession, you're giving in. But Sue wouldn't have been able to get up there to give her testimony, so that's a good thing. Yeah, I would have. That was just my natural flesh, so forgive me. I had a kind of what Keith said, I guess. I just, something got much more solidified this morning as I was reading a little in the Word, and God opened some stuff. First of all, I want to set a little picture. You know, Christ is the cornerstone, it says, and then there's the one about, you know, where you build your house. Well, if you've never been in construction, whenever you build something, you always have to have a footing first. But the footing has to go down either to bedrock, if you're building an Empire State Building, or like in our country, you have to get below, like, say, frost level and everything else, where that footing isn't going to move, and then it supports the rest. Well, then once you have the footing, then you can set the cornerstone. You take measurements and you square everything up, so when you set that first block, it's true. And everything runs off of that. Well, it was like this morning, I felt like, you know, when God gave us this, whatever, enlightenment to go to His Word, that was like preparing the bedrock for the footing. And then when you started listening, He built the footing. And then as we kept listening, He set the cornerstone. And that's a big one, because it isn't just that there is a Christ, it's who is the Christ,
Amen.
You know? And then it can be, well, it was like, I don't know if maybe there's one layer of blocks yet in mine, but some have been laid. And you know, with mortar that you put to hold the block, it cures. And it doesn't get its cure just overnight. The longer it sits, the stronger it gets. And that's what I felt like happened this morning. And that was when I was reading in Romans. And it's chapter 14, verse 10. And it's talking here, it's Paul is, this leads to a couple different revelations. And here's what it's based on, I'll tell you right up front. Faith. Faith is everything. And so I'm reading down here, and it says, "But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for him? For we shall all stand before, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." And then it says, "Then each of us shall give account of himself to God." And I thought that caught me. And the reason it caught me is because back in that verse 10 where it says the judgment seat of Christ, there's a small letter A, which means there's a reference. So I went down and it says 14:10, where instead of Christ, it says NU text reads of God. Well, then I started thinking, okay, so there's two different texts that kind of are used for the King James and especially the New King James. So I went, just for the heck of it, I went to the front and read the whole prefix to my Bible. And it was like, I read it and I thought, yeah, and I kept thinking, now God is in control of everything. So, even all these men that were the translators and everything, how much were they actually in the Spirit? I mean, led by the Spirit. Were they listening to the Word every day as we've been shown to do? I don't know. And so I thought, you know, for this setting, I mean, because it says Christ is going to judge, you know. So that's not an argument. But in this setting, when it's going back to the Old Testament using Isaiah, Christ, if you think about it, how can that fit? It's talking about God. But see, if you're not clear about that, then one of the translations they wanted to use put Christ. The other one said God. That doesn't mean to me that they're one and the same. It means to me that if you use the translation that says God, it will line up with the scripture from the Old Testament. You know, so then I started thinking, well, now, if God's in all this, and I was sitting here this morning and I thought, you know, God intentionally made things look like they're muddled up to a degree. Because here's the secret. And you know, there's a thing to this. It says the mysteries of God. And there is mysteries. There's like secrets. I like mystery a little better because secret kind of, you know. But it also says that they're not to be unknown, the mysteries of God. It says the mystery of God will be revealed. So I'm thinking, okay, the Holy Spirit does not age. He didn't weaken because of age. He doesn't get old. He is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. God is holy. So when His Holy Spirit came on those disciples and was in Christ ministering, it was exactly what He wanted. It was truth that was presented. Okay? So it doesn't matter from that time when it was put down till now, if it got muddled up, if it got confusing, the same Holy Spirit still has the same truth. And God says, if you will come as a little child, I will teach you by my Spirit the truth. In other words, I feel like we can receive the same truth the disciples received. That's the whole intent of God. That gospel was for whosoever from the day it was presented forward. But if you don't believe that the Holy Spirit can teach you by faith, you are not going to get the mystery.
That's good.
You are not going to get the mystery. And you have to, by faith, you have to look past that prefix in your Bible.
Glory.
You know, and all the scholars that have come before you mean nothing. It means nothing. It's what the Spirit will teach you that means everything. And, I mean, that's what Abraham had. He could not see, but he believed by faith that God would do what he said. I mean, there is, how many of us would really sit here today if we were 100 years old and believe we could regenerate? In other words, have a baby with someone that's almost the exact same age as us. That's faith.
Yes, it is faith.
I mean, especially no other children before that. I mean, she was considered, I'm barren. For some reason, God has chosen not to let me bear children. Did she give up on God? No. Did she curse God? No. So, I was sitting there and I'm thinking, and then I'm reading, and I'd been reading, you know, in there, because in that general area is the whole part where Paul is speaking about how we should be about food, and how we should be with stumbling our brother and whatever. And, see, I started thinking, you know, and I've done this a little bit. I pray and believe that if I happen to eat some food that has bad stuff in it, and I don't mean spoiled necessarily or bacteria, maybe chemicals. I've kind of come to the fact that, well, wait a minute. If I should eat any deadly poison and I have faith to believe that God won't kill me, you know. And I started thinking about food. It says all food is pure. And I thought, you know, maybe that is why I should ask God to bless every meal. Which I don't do, but in faith I've always believed that, you know. But maybe I should start, because, I mean, now you have to realize you can't be a complete idiot about this either. You know, you can't sit and eat pure fat every day, every meal, and say, God bless us. And, you know, I mean, because, I mean, that's kind of like, you know, saying, Lord, if I jump off because it says in the Word, your angels will catch me. You know, you can't tempt God. But what if you just started praying over your food and asking God to give you knowledge in a way that you would eat? You know, I was thinking about, if all of a sudden I'm not working anymore, why am I eating like when I worked? I don't need that much food to have strength. Now, if you are doing that physical activity, yeah, but then it's like, but how much? And is some better for that than other? Should I be open to that? Yeah, maybe. You know what I'm saying? So I think if we start praying for God to bless that food, at the same time thinking, and Lord, maybe you could enlighten me the best way to present that food to myself. You know? And it doesn't, don't let it happen overnight. I mean, if he does, it'd be a miracle. But just let it develop. I mean, I'm eating things and not eating things that I swore I would never be that way. No, I can, you know. Well, it's, you know, it's like, I believe God's going to take me when he wants to take me, but at the same time, I believe I can lead a healthy life until that time, you know? So, but that's the light side of it. the side of it about this word, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's probably stuff in here it got translated a little off, it didn't. But, you know, it's the same thing we've had. It doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit is going to bring to light what is truth in this word. You know? And there's things that are, God just, He does things. Because for one, He will not be put in a box. You know, I mean, even in the Old Testament, they were going by the law and there was this and that. And then all of a sudden, here's David walking through the fields with his disciples, plucking grain off on a Sunday, on a Sabbath. With Jesus. Yeah. Then there's the other time when, well, oh yeah, that was Jesus with the disciples. Then there was David who went into the, and ate the showbread. Which was, that should have just totally, David should have been struck out of the book. Shouldn't he? He should have been just annihilated. But see, that was God saying, but see, my mercy and grace, you can't put it, you can't decide it's just like that and never going to change. There are some things of God that obviously that are unchangeable.
For us.
Huh?
Us.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots of instances. You know, and the Pharisees got mad because, was it Stephen or somebody related the story about the widow in Sarepta or wherever. And she was healed and all the other lepers weren't. And right away, it struck the Pharisees. And they went, wait a minute, are you talking about us? Well, he didn't have to answer. It was obvious. But this faith, you have to believe. Start, and I believe pretty much everybody here, I think, knows that they got a footing in the ground. And they've got a block that has been set.
Yes.
You know, when you think about it, when Keith said those words again, I got so affected. When he quoted, when Christ said, "These are not my words, but His," you are going to say the same thing. His words. And you don't have to be concerned. You know, because it ain't you. It's going to go forth. And whosoever, and Charlie brought it up, there is a wide and there is a narrow and there is mercy and there's grace. There's ignorance that's still allowed at this point, I think. But God's going to allow every person to be accountable. Do you see what I said? It isn't like every person's going to... God's going to allow every person to be accountable. In other words, He's going to allow every person to hear the gospel. At least once. Maybe more than once. Because that's up to Him. Because He knows where that person is. And then His elect will be His elect. His chosen will be His chosen. You know? And you know what? I keep praying. Lord, I believe I am, but I keep praying. Keep me there. Let me be that one. You know, no matter how dinged up and whatever I seem to be, let me be that one. And it's like, huh?
Paul said the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, because we got to stay in that place. You need to stay humble. You need to know it isn't you, and you haven't attained until you see Him coming in the clouds. Then it says redemption has come. But you can stand on promises, and you can have faith to believe. If He's put that seed in you, it's not to go to waste. Believe it's not for you to waste it. See, if you believe that, you won't be the one that gets plucked, or it'll take root. It'll build the footing. It'll put the block. It'll start to lay the courses that build what? The house of God.
Amen.
It's the house of God that we're going to be built into. And we already are a dwelling for His Spirit. So let's believe that. Have faith in it. And no matter what's going on, and you know, it's true, there are some days I think, no, there's no way. I know I'll give God the glory. Yeah. I know I'm not there. You know? But you know what? It's not wrong to be praying for the signs, the power that's supposed to back up this word. Be praying for it. But just let it happen when God wants it to happen. You know? And that's hard. There's days when I feel like I want to go out there. But I'm not ready. I just don't think I'm ready yet. But you know what? I'm open. So when I get with the guy that gives me lessons, there's times when, not every time, but different times, all of a sudden, it comes out. Starts sharing again. We start talking the word, the gospel, or the whatever. And then I let some of these things that God has shown us come out. That says it's for everybody. It's never, I don't want to ever let them think that I got something and they need to get it from me. I just want them to go where they can get it. That's because it is going to do nothing for anybody if they don't get it for themselves. It'll hold for a while and it'll keep them for a while. But evidently there's a time coming when if it isn't the true footing and foundation, it's not going to hold up. And you can't stand on somebody else's testimony and witness and preaching and teaching. You have to have it. It has to be in you. And you know, right now, I don't know how this works. It's up to God. Not everybody may teach because they have that. But they may do works that are so, make it so obvious they have it that it has the same effect on people. You know, because it says not everybody will be a teacher. But it says, gee, some people are so gifted with long-suffering, with giving, with sharing. You know, and that has a tremendous effect on people. And all of it is needed. You know, so if I'm a little lacking in that area and somebody else isn't, they're going to affect somebody out there that I can't. Or vice versa. Or, you know, but God will get to them. His whole plan is a success. He will get to who He wants to get to. And He will take those who are His when it's time to take them. You know, but by faith, you just believe this word. And believe that if you keep eating it, it is the right nourishment that is going to make and build the spirit man. The spirit man that wars against the fleshly man. And believe me, there's a war going on in me, and I'm sure in you. But that's okay. You know? Spirit man's winning. Even though, if I look in the natural, it may not. I know the spirit man is developing and being nurtured and is winning. So, you know, and it's a lot of it is for my own humility that the flesh is doing what it's doing. I know I have to keep being reminded yet that I can't beat it. I cannot beat some of the things that are in my flesh myself. Well, I can't beat any of them, come to think of it. You know? And so, for some reason, because God has brought us to that place, I think that is going to have a tremendous effect on people out there who have been hurt and whatever by being in these, so, you know, that's an incredible thing, these so-called church. You know, for some reason, I think we've been really kind. That we keep us saying, the church, you know, for the most part, the church today is messed up. You know what? That's not the church if it's messed up, in a sense. You know what I mean? If it doesn't have the truth, is it really the church? You know? But it does show that even with the true church, there's still imperfection, you know? But it says you should know those who are, and I'm beginning to know those who are. And there's a reason, you know? See, if the church out there is really some of the church, there, well, yeah, this is, it makes it kind of obvious, then there wouldn't be 100 and some denominations. Because it says, you will have one man and speak the same word. One mind and speak the same word. That's the church. I know a lot of you are telling me the same word that I'm hearing in here. And we have, I can tell we have this, we're beginning to have the same mind. You know? And it's a crazy thing. It's a hard thing to say to people who are in a church, going to Bible studies, and being taught and everything. And I say, you know, I really only see most of the people in my church on Sunday. There isn't a whole lot of fellowship going on. But it's amazing when we come together that, gee, this guy's saying the same thing I heard. And this one's hearing what I heard. And you know what? That takes faith to even want to accept that. How can that be? You're not fellowshipping. You're supposed to be, you know. No, you're supposed to first be taught by God and rely completely on Him. See, that's the other thing you have to come to in that foundation. If I'm the only one, am I not going to give this up? What if everybody around me says, oh, you know what, this was wrong. I come to, way back when, I whether I go with it or not, I come to the place that this is the only answer. Yes. It is the only answer. Truth, if it's truth, is the only truth. And it's the only thing that's eternal. Yes. I mean, I've said it before, and I keep reminding myself. No song, no teaching, no sermon, no book ever written is going to be after. None of that's going to eternity. You know, the big libraries and all the stuff that's filled, that ain't going to heaven. The Word of God is going to heaven. You know, truth is going to heaven. And that's why that's what you got to have. Sorry I took so long.
Ken, that was excellent.
Yeah. Amen on faith. There was some pretty disappointing news today, or this past week, that came out that kind of lines up with the tenor. I don't know if you know, but the recent survey by an organization called Pew has announced that the number of declared Christians in the country is down 9% in the last 7 years. We've gone from 79% of the people claiming they're Christian down to 70%. Now, I'm not really one to get up and talk a whole lot about current events from the pulpit because I don't think it applies most times. But today, in talking about numbers and talking about faith, I think God is doing a lot with the people out there because people have given up on church. people have become apathetic because they're just not getting what they need to get. And so, do I worry that there's a 10% drop in declared Christians in this country? No. Not only that, I think the poll is off because based on what I see in the world, it seems like a much farther decrease than that just by what's going on. And can I fix it? You know, no. You know, I keep coming back to the revelation of who He is and who we are. I mean, and that applies so much with what's been shared today. No, we can't figure it out. Not supposed to. It's kind of it's very clearly spelled out that it's set up, the Word is set up to confound the natural man. So the minute we get on our horse and think that we've got it, we've missed. A couple weeks ago, Susan and I were involved with the interment of her mother, and a comment that came up from one of the more religiously bent people there was they were in a Bible study and they were going through the book of Revelation. It was just amazing how clear that was and how everything made sense. You know, and I'm sitting there not trying to be offensive and thinking about that and exactly what that means, and I'm going, you know, I'm sure that there is revelation that they're getting, but the statement was just so far over the top that I went, you're not going to hear me say that. I'm not coming to the book of Revelations with the impression that I got it figured out. I'm coming to the book of Revelations and the rest of the Word like a little child looking for guidance from my Father.
That's good, right?
And so but it is a faith thing. Keith made a statement this morning that, you know, my contrary spirit that I fight all the time jumped up, and he said something like, and I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, the revelation, you know, happens like this, and I'm sitting there going, no. The revelation happens as God gives it to you. You know, take yourself out of that equation. Study the Bible all you want. There's goodness in that. The Holy Spirit works when He wants to work. Anyways, I come back to that because I keep reminding myself that it's not my schedule. And I need that for me to be grounded. However you all get there, you know, God willing and God's hands on it. But I hear a comment that implies that somehow I've put something into motion. I come back to it's not my schedule and the revelation of who He is and who I am. How am I going to determine what the Creator wants me to know when I decide? It reminds me of that setting in the Scripture where, and I apologize, some of you scholars, but one of the prophets in the Old Testament is talking about, do you really think you can create a God if you're doing it with your own hands? I mean, how do you create a God out of wood? Or stone, or whatever. And I have to admit, the first time I read that, you know, it wasn't quite the bolt of lightning through the room, but it was so obvious to me all of a sudden. I went, how could I have ever thought? How could I have ever even been fooled into thinking that somehow there was something in that was even one shred of that was okay? How can the created create the Creator? I won't be much longer. I guess the thing I wanted to say today in light of some of the things that have happened in my life is that God is good all the time. You have to have faith that when something goes not exactly how the flesh was hoping it would, that you have to hang on to God is good all the time. And the only way that I've been able to reconcile that is to recognize that I am the created, and I don't see with the eyes of the Creator. And so even though I'm in a struggle or something is going less than wonderful in the natural, it's because God's great plan requires that. And the only thing I can do is put myself in the position to be willing to accept that with an open heart. And if I continue to do that, God's not going to forsake me. He might let me whistle out there in the wind a little longer than I want. I was sharing with someone at the hospital with Susan. No, I take it back, different group. I was at Susan's internment for her mother. We had a discussion. Susan's mother internment. That's who we were at. Excuse me. Let me be clear. It's a slight difference, but kind of big. I was speaking with the minister who had officiated the ceremony. We were talking and just friendly Christian-y type conversation. And I made the comment. I said, you know how people tend to misquote where they say that God won't give us anything more than we can handle. And I said, that is a common misquote, but the natural response to that has been, I have gotten tired of God's confidence in me and wish he would dial it down a notch. And this Baptist minister turned to me and said, that is really good. I'm going to use that. And I said, well, feel free. It's not me. I've heard it somewhere before, but I think it's really true. The flesh struggles with what, the cup that we're given. And the real demonstration of faith is just to power through in spite of it.
There is a scripture that doesn't quite say that God won't give us more than he can handle. It goes like, couldn't exactly quote it, but it says that he won't test your faith more than you can be tested by. It is a scripture. I've heard it twice in the last month, probably. It's in the New Testament someplace. After Romans, for sure. Anyways, Corinthians. So it is, okay, thanks, Ron. There is a scripture, I mean, some people say that, but it's a misquoting, but it does have something that is based on. Anyways, about the churches, we have all these churches, and I was talking to Candy, he came to me, the scripture of, there's Martha and Mary, I believe, I don't know. There, Jesus is preaching and one is serving tables and the other one is listening to Jesus, and the one serving tables is saying, have this lady help me serve tables. She's listening to you, but I said, like, she's not doing anything. And Jesus says, the one that's listening to me is a smart one, or, is the one that's doing the right thing. And you that are serving tables are not doing nothing wrong. But that's not where it's at, and that's where the church is at. They're serving tables. Just think about it. Think about any church. Monday through Friday, they serve tables. Is it bad? No. The good Jesus says, watch each other's feet. If you want to be the greatest, you must be the least and the servant. You must serve. But it's not in the same context to serve tables. They're serving tables, and I don't know what to do about it. I just know the scripture is there. Something else, a couple of weeks ago again, Ken said something about, we give Jesus too much emphasis, or I remember you said, I gotta be careful how I say this. And I couldn't understand, but I couldn't understand, but it's like, but it stayed there, and it made me sad a little bit that it's not Jesus, but I mean Jesus is my best friend, you know what I mean? It's like, so I just, I mean, so I just took it, and but then I started, you know, obviously through the scriptures, you know, it's not like I start thinking, right? Through the scriptures, it's like the ultimate goal is the Father. That's where we want to be. That's where we're going to go. You know what I mean? That is, God is what we want, but we can't get to it without Jesus. Well, Jesus, okay, the plainest scripture there is, I am the way, I am the door. I mean, you can't get, Jesus is the door. He is the way to the Father, which is what we want. So yeah, we do sometimes emphasize the door too much. But we do need the door. But it rejuvenated my joy when I understood that. Because sometimes we do kind of forget about the Father. We do. We cannot get to the Father without Jesus. But you know what's interesting? It is that the Father cannot get to us without Jesus either. Because everything that was made, that was ever made, was made through Jesus. We were made through Jesus. So God got to us through Jesus. And we get to the Father through Jesus. So we have to have Jesus if we want the Father. Jesus is our umbilical cord to the Father. No Jesus, no Father. No Father, no Jesus. And anyways, it after I heard that, then the scriptures came alive, and it made me happy to understand that we can't have one without the other. But our goal is the Father. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We ask the Father in the name of Jesus. It's like, you know, Jesus says, you know, we are one. Of course, I mean, you can't. No Jesus, no Father. No Father, no Jesus. So I'm glad that the scriptures opened up and it gave me that peace.
Are we supposed to stand in this stool or this little thing? Okay, I feel important now. Okay, bear with me. This could be about 3 hours, but I'm not going to let it. But I brought the whole Kleenex box because I wasn't sure how many it was going to take. So, very first coming out, as all of you know, I was studying to be a bus driver. And it kind of came about quick, because Pablo had told me in January or something, because I've been selling things out of my house for so many years, or nursing babies, or involved. So Pablo told me when we closed on the GoPhoto in January that I should consider not selling jewelry anymore and just maybe go get a job, so that when I'm home, I don't have to answer emails at 1 in the morning, whatever. And that was hard on me, because I've been self-employed, and it's fun to be self-employed. And so there was some different thoughts of what I wanted to do. And I wanted to do school bus when my girls were little, because it was a good opportunity. And then I was a little nervous to go out and get a job, because I haven't interviewed at a job for a long time. And so I have the personality to serve coffee, but do I have the knowledge up here to learn new things? And so in February, Pablo's mom came. And as we all know, it's a stressful time for me. But the time with her was so fantastic. Pablo had started a clean eating, and I was semi-doing it, and I was semi-wanting to eat better and whatever. And while his mom was here, it was a fabulous time. I was playing my worship music while I was cleaning my kitchen. Then she would say, "Gandhi, what song is that?" You know, she didn't really know what it was, but she could hear me. And I'm not shy about that, and so I would worship. And so... then when she was here, I was supposed to
have my monthly female thing, and I was late, and of course, you know, all my kids are like, oh my gosh, Mom. So it came and whatever. Well, since then, since the beginning of March, I know this is personal, but I had bled for almost 3 months. And through it, it was like, am I old? They said it was perimenopause, all this stuff. And so I finally decided I better go in for the check, the ultrasound, to see. But through that, at the end of March, the opportunity to become a bus driver came up, and I thought, yes, that's perfect for my family. I've never been on a bus with students getting on and off in my entire life. I've been on a charter bus a few times for field trips, but I have never known what a bus driver does. But I know that I wanted to minister to these kids. Then I was informed I couldn't play worship music, and I could not tell them, I'll pray for your aunt. Nothing. Well, that was going to be tough on me. So then I decided the end of March, yep, the opportunity came up. I got my kids' route, all three of my children's routes. Well, the two routes. But, okay, so through the female trouble I was having and the anxiety of, am I dying? Should I have a check? Should I not? Then I opened the manual. One day, I got it March 31st, and I opened it, and I went, it's going to be Japanese for me. I don't know air brakes, and I don't know trucks. But I took the leap of faith and closed my jewelry in April. And then April 16th, I got the manual on 31st, but April 16th, I decided I'm going to study this hard because I don't understand anything. And I would go over and over. And then as I asked for prayer, Lord, open my mind. So through that, I studied and studied and studied, and I bled. And I was listening to the New Testament. And then the more I listened to the New Testament, I was drawn to the Psalms. And I would lay in my bed in the morning, and I would turn on the Psalms. And I got close to the Lord because I knew that I was drawing nigh to Him because either He was going to take me soon, but regardless if He was taking me soon, I was still planning that I was going to be a bus driver for the rest of my life. So therefore, I wasn't planning my funeral. I was, you know what I mean? I went, Lord, no. So I wanted to draw nigh close to the Lord. So through the last, you know, couple months, the James 4:8, draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. Now, most people, Christians, Christian or not, but people that are just good people, they go through and I hear a lot of people say, when it's God's time, I'm ready. I'm available. Are you available? Are you really making yourself ready? Are you taking in over here but expecting God to be doing something over here? And I realized that from my head to my toe, I had to clean my body. That was food, that was thoughts, that was what was coming out, what was going in. Because everybody knows what you put in is what you give out. And I would go around my house. I would listen to I have three favorite worship songs in my shower. And there were several times that I was brought down to my knees. And I'm big, so I don't like to fall down. In laughter, tears of, Lord, I trust you. Yes, I trust you. I trust you. And a few days before my ultrasound test, I was in the shower, and I was like, Lord, you created me. If you created me, then I trust you, right? And I just leaned against my shower, and I thought, yes. I shouted, yes, you created me, so that no matter what happens, that I am putting myself completely naked before you, and you're going to be there, no matter what it is. But I'm going to keep studying, and I'm not going to worry about what's being done to this earthly body. I'm going to press forward. So 3 days before the test, everything stopped. I had bought some essential oil, and it said it should work, but whatever. It stopped. And so I didn't know about the test. Should I do the test? Pablo said, well, maybe, you know. But I had faith up to that point that I asked God to have it stop, please stop, and then it stopped. So I went forward with the test, blah, blah, blah. They said I would know in a few days. Well, that was on Wednesday. I didn't get a call till the next Wednesday, but before that, I went to the bus company and I said, okay, this is what I need to know. Okay, you start taking your test. So I went over, I went and had my ultrasound, then went and did my first test. So then I just kept studying and I passed a few tests, and then the next week, you know, it was a trust for that next week. It was a trust of God that I wanted to email the doctor, like, okay, did you see anything? You know, all of a sudden it was like I was worried that they saw something. But before I went into the testing, I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried. So I heard a voice say, you don't trust me? And I thought, yes, I trust you. So I don't even care, because I needed to just do this. So then she called me. Margot, my midwife, was a little flighty. And I just love her. And she called me on a Wednesday. Oh, hi, Candy. I know you brought me a necklace one day, and so I wanted to send you a thank you card. And in doing so, I forgot. I better call you, because you're probably wondering if you're okay. I said, yeah. Well, there's a few little things. It's nothing. It's normal. She says, no, you're fine. And I said, well, Margot, I was thinking maybe you didn't call me for a week because you knew I wasn't going to make it, and you didn't want to be the one to tell me. And she says, no, you're fine. I'm like, well, thanks for waiting, making me wait for a week. Nobody waits a week. But in that week again, I went, okay, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I need to keep going. Well, so blah, 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 blah. I've passed all the tests. I did everything, and this last Monday, I passed the air brake test on the first time, and for anybody that knows anything about that, that puts me in the super elite group, so I felt really proud. However, I don't know anything about buses. I know it here. I can answer those questions, and I know it here, but I didn't have a picture of all those things of the bus to put the head knowledge with my vision, or you know what I mean, like apply it. So Monday morning, we were all here set last Sunday, and I was excited. I passed all the tests. So Monday, I got on the bus, and he asked me a simple question about the oil gauge. I was like, I don't know what the normal range is. Well, yes, I do know. I know, but I didn't know. And I felt nervous. Okay, it was new. And then in the afternoon, he says, well, let's get on. And I drove 22 miles around town with this mirror hitting mailboxes and this mirror hitting all the cars in my vision. And okay, and then the next, and I drove in the afternoon, and then the next morning I went and drove. But that morning when I woke up, something didn't feel right. And Pablo said, well, it's a new job. And I thought, I passed the test. I most certainly can drive this. Oh, it will become routine. Yep, okay, yep. Well, I went there for the 2 hours in the morning, and then I went home, and I sobbed, and I called my mom, and I said, I don't feel like it can become routine. I've never seen anybody operate a school bus. So I called Kurt at the bus company, and I said, I can't come back at 12:30 and drive. I need to observe somebody. He says, well, just go with Barry on his afternoon routes. You'll feel comfortable. And I thought, okay, good. I'm going to get on the bus, and I'm going to watch him take those right turns with a foot and a half off the curb without hitting the car in the other lane. I'm going to watch him, because he had me do like 20 right turns because I kept running over the curb. And he said, it'll just all become natural. Okay. So I prayed for 2 hours. I had lunch, and I looked at that manual, and I thought, Lord, all right, I can do this. I'm just going to watch him apply all those things I have in my head. I went back. I got on that bus. He started picking up the little kids, and I watched him. He was friendly, hello, and I watched him do all those turns and all those things. He did 2.5 routes. He had the little kids, the big kids. I watched him, and his one little kid that sits in the front, I sat in the second seat with my hands on the bus watching all of his mirrors and all of his things, and the little boy sat in the seat with his knees like this, with his hands over my hands, and just stared at me the whole ride. Oh, my this, and he said, your hair's really pretty, but it looks like a wig. And he was a first grader, and he just wanted to be my friend. And as the little kids started getting off the bus, I wasn't paying attention anymore to what the bus driver was doing, was stopping, putting it in neutral, opening that door. Because really, before I ever was on the bus Monday morning, I did not know how that door opened. I had no idea, except head knowledge, which in the manual, it doesn't talk about. how the door opens. So I started, the little kids would get off the bus, and I started watching them. And his job, they get out with the arm, he does this and like this, they go about, and then he keeps going. And I, because of who I am, would look and think, his house doesn't look like anybody's home. I hope his mom isn't sick. I hope his dad doesn't get run over, or his puppy doesn't get run over. I hope his dad doesn't have cancer. And I wanted to be able to say, see you tomorrow. God loves you. You know, because I've drawn so close that I actually can't keep my mouth shut about the Lord anymore. And I realized that his job was transporting children, but his job is driving. I'm not an office worker. I'm not a cubicle worker. I'm not a thinker. I don't go fishing for hours and think about nothing. I'm constantly thinking about something, and I don't care about the trees and the scenery. I want to turn around, and I want to minister to those children. I can't say anything because I would get written up. You can't say anything about God, and you can't play Christian music. And I can be friendly, but I'm more than that. And God has instilled in me so much that I want to be filled head to toe, cleansed. My body, my spirit, my soul, my mind, what I put in my mouth, what I put in my head, what I give out, I want to be cleansed. And I drove for 2 hours thinking that I was looking at all the maneuvers. And all of a sudden, all these other things opened up. And I got off the bus. He says, well, I hope you feel more relaxed today. Kurt, you know, said that you just needed to ride. And I said, I do. I said, thank you. You know, he said, I'll see you tomorrow morning. And each day, you know, the first day they said, hope you come back tomorrow. Because apparently people come the first day and it's tough and they go home even after all the federal medical exam. I went through everything. So then I started driving home and I thought, I don't think I'm a bus driver. I'm not a bus driver. I'm a people caretaker. I got to have people here, not scenery. So I got home and I got in my driveway. And in the morning I had called my mom and my mom said, well, you know, it's a new job. Just go and the Lord, you know, the Lord's taking you here and whatever. So I pulled in the driveway and I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm not a bus driver. Oh, no, what happened? So I talked to her. And while she was talking to me, she says, well, you know, she says, maybe you went through all of this. Because I was nervous in January to go get a job at a flower shop because what do I know? I know jewelry. And she says, maybe the Lord brought you all this just to show you that you're able to do anything. And I was like, well, it's kind of a waste of time and money. But maybe the Lord just brought you to be at peace and realize that you can do anything. Well, in the last couple months with me seeking God, my heart is, I can do anything. And I have developed this thing that my mother has said her entire life. She says, if I'm at Walmart and I say to somebody, hi, how are you? And they go, well, I got this backache and I got... She says, that is God giving me the opportunity to pray. So since I was little, there's my mother. Well, could I pray with you in the middle of the aisle praying for some stranger? Well, guess what? I have that now. I have absolutely no reserve. I am not going to go stand on the street corner and pass out tracts and shout glory to people because that is not what it's about. But I have to be filled from here to here to be able to give out to somebody. So my mom encouraged me and I just sobbed. I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed and I told Dominic and then he just looked at me and he said, Mom, you're not a bus driver. I didn't know, had I ever been on a bus, I would have realized that the bus driver is friendly and hello, but he can only see these two little students. All those little kids disappear behind the seats. And I just wanted to know, are they going to have dinner? Is anybody sick there? You know? And so I realized, I'm not a driver, guys. But I did get my my learner's permit, so I have this little card. But you know what this tells me? I can do anything. I can work at a flower shop. Or I can go and stand in Walmart and just minister to people. But I can do anything. I called Kurt Wednesday. I texted him. And then he called me Wednesday morning. And I said, I won't be in today. I can't be a bus driver. Well, first of all, him and all the women that work there are like, we're so excited for you to start. You're going to be the friendliest bus driver we ever had. So I said, Kurt, and that's kind of my curse for the job. I said, you know how friendly you say I'm the friendliest person you ever met? I'm not a bus driver. Oh, well, Kurt, I'm not a bus driver. So he asked me to take a week off and just, he goes, I know you pray, just pray. Well, I already know I'm not, but I'm going to be courteous and I'm going to tell him, you know, I waited the week. But he's really excited. But I had told Pablo a couple months ago, or when I first did this, Kurt and I have become really, he texts me and his girlfriend has problems like I do with female stuff and whatever. And so he wants to know what I'm doing about it. But through this, I told Pablo, I says, you know, when I get this bus job, maybe the whole job is just because Kurt's going to become a Christian. Because he's really soaked into my personality. He's kind of a nervous guy. His face is full of rosacea because he's so stressed on that job. He owns the Triple Yellow Bus. And I want to go in there and I want to clean his office. And I just want to put oil on his face and I want to pray for him. So I told Kurt, I said, well, nothing else, Kurt. We've become good friends, you know. And I said, I just want to minister the love of the Lord to you. I know, Candy, I know. He goes, but just please take a week off. Okay, so that's technically what I'm doing, so Wednesday will be a week. But just so everybody knows, I'm not a bus driver. But guess what? I have asked the Lord every day for a month to go before me. I stand in the shower, and I say, Lord, today, go before me. Be there so that no matter where I go, what I'm doing, you're before me, and it's you. Use me for what you need. And as I have drawn near to him, he will draw nigh unto me. And if you think about it, most Christians say, well, Lord, you know, draw nigh unto me, I'm waiting, and then I'll draw nigh unto you. And that's not how it works. You have to draw nigh unto him so he can draw nigh unto you. And that's James 4:8. And he will. But you have to give him everything. You have to give him this, 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 all the way down. And he will take care of you. And I have asked the Lord, I've said before, I just want to be home and not nurse babies, not answer emails. I've been doing that for 100 years. So my husband texted me and he says, you know, baby, he says, I think maybe God has continually given him work. It's hard, but he says, I think I would like you to just be home, and I'll just give you, I call it an allowance, but a set thing of money so that when I'm out and about, I can get my own hairspray, all of my girly needs, you know, and that I don't ever feel like, well, I can probably, you know, put $30 in my bank, because I don't run around with a bunch of money. And he says, and just do that, and then we talked about it that night, and he said, maybe just volunteer somewhere for a couple hours. And I said, no, I would like to work. I do like to work. But I want to work at a place that I can say to somebody, you got cancer, I'm going to pray. And I want the Lord to go before me. And he has cleansed many things inside of me. And in fact, the last 2-3 months, I am, to me, a 95% new creature and a different person. My thoughts are different. My ideas are different. My heart is different. The love for people around me is different. And I want to carry the joy of the Lord with me no matter where I go. And I ask the Lord to go before me. And it's not a silly, mundane. I mowed my grass yesterday, and I couldn't stop singing. And then a few times, I almost fell to my knees because I was giggling with the joy of the Lord because I had time with him. But it's like a relationship with your mate. If you do all of the, you know, I know a lot of people that say, well, I pray, I'm praying. Well, you got to stop and you have to listen to God too. You know, I'm a talker, and if I talk to death, Pablo would die. So I got to stop and let him talk back to me. But through all of that, I'm not a bus driver. I'm not sure what the Lord has for me. But right now, I cleaned my kitchen the other morning with the first time in my entire life, I cleaned my kitchen with such joy of the Lord of, nobody needs me right now, so I'm going to scrub the stuck peanut butter and the avocado off these spoons. And I'm serving the Lord, and the Lord sees what I'm doing. And the Lord is the one that goes before me, and he is with me. And, okay, long story short, so I and we were able to minister to some neighbors down the street. I hadn't seen them for a while. She went walking by. She had a stroke last fall after 2 years ago after a hysterectomy. She's young. She can't work anymore. They have a little girl. And she went walking by and she said, "Hey, Candy, I'm never outside. You know why? Because I'm in the house answering emails. But I was outside playing tennis with Dominic. 7 o'clock at night, she says, "Candy," she says, "your church, is your dad still the pastor down there?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Oh," she says, "well," their little girl goes to school with Lissy, but I never see her. She says, "Oh," she says, "well, I've just been wanting to come down there, just check it out, you know." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, you know what, Sonia? If nothing else," she had a stroke, so she has still some disability things, and I said, "Come down at 12:15. We gather in a circle. If you can't make it before then, we'll pray for you, whatever." Well, then she's like, "Well, I don't know what she said. Something was hurting, whatever." And I told her, I said, "I have the Bible Gateway app on my phone, and I clip it on right here, and I just listen to whatever scripture settings I want. I just turn it on, and I listen as I clean." I said, "Turn the TV off, turn the radio off, turn everything off, and just play it. And it will become, when you first start listening to scriptures, it's like, oh, am I supposed to be listening? I should be doing something else. But it becomes just there. God has to be all in all there. And I find now I have the time that I can listen. And I can listen and actually apply it." And so I shared with her for a second. And then, okay, she said she had some holy fit. It's called holy fit workout video. I said, "Come down and I'll take a walk with you sometime." She said, "Or you can do this holy fit thing with me." And I said, "Okay." And then she left. And I have asked God, put me in the opportunity, put me somewhere, let me be a vessel, let me be a cleaned out vessel, let my body be cleaned out so that I am not in a wheelchair trying to minister to other Christians. That's a whole other subject. But I have to be able to be cleansed here to here in order for me to give out to others. So the next day, went to pick up Felicity. I have never seen her mother at the school in 2 years, ever. And the little girl comes running outside. They were the last two little girls there. And I thought, what is she doing here? And I looked across, and there was her mom's car. I pulled up. I don't know what kind of car she drives. She was sitting right there. She was sitting in her front seat going like this. And I'm like, "What's wrong?" And Gabby ran, and I said, "Gabby, what's wrong with your mom?" She said, "I don't know." And then she rolled down the window, and she says, "My mom said money." And some of the details I'm not going to share, but I said, "What?" So her mom rolled down the window, and she's kind of a light spirit. I don't want to use the word simple. She's not simple, but light spirited, just a nice, sweet spirited lady. But she had a stroke also, you know, and she can't work and whatever. And so said money. Well, she got out of the car. She came over to me, explained some of their situation to me and whatever. And I just hugged her and I shared some scripture, whatever. And then she said, "Candy," she says, "you're like my angel today. I needed this." I said, "Why are you here to pick up Gabby?" "Oh," she says, "because I have to tell her that we're going to have to move." Okay. So I was able to share scripture with her and I hugged her and I said, "All I can do for you is pray." And she got, you know, back to her car, and I said, "I'll be praying for you, and if I win the lottery overnight, I'll give it to you," or whatever. Well, anyways, I was sharing that with somebody, and they wanted to help her out. And so the next day, yesterday, I was able to go down there, pray with them, share some things with them. I made her some jewelry, and I was able to give them a little blessing. And to them, it was $1 million. And it was important for me that even if I had nothing else to give them than a hug or prayer, they just soaked it in. And the man sobbed that I was even down there. They don't, you know. But I was like, "Lord," like Dominic said, everything's set into place. But if I would have still been doing my thing, I wouldn't have been outside. I wouldn't have been in there when she walked by. I was late to pick up Felicity. I wouldn't have seen the mom. But those are the things that I want to happen to me. I want to be a servant, an empty vessel before the Lord, and I'm not shy anymore because God has cleansed me from head to toe, and I'm not shy. But Christians should not be out shouting. You know what I mean? You don't irritate people. But when the situation comes up, that's the thing, is I want to be free and available and empty, so that I'm full of Him, but available for when He needs me. But I'm not a bus driver. I'll let Ron have the job of transporting people.
about that, I thought, well, at least Ron could probably talk to those people in the bus, but the kids, you can't. You got to just do your thing. So, anyways, I love you all, and I want to tell my parents. I woke up yesterday morning and this morning with the word gratitude, and I thought, what? I am so thankful for my parents, and so thankful that they're faithful. They're human. My dad's human. My mom is human. They've done human things, but I'm human too. But they have remained faithful, and God has blessed them. They're both ready to go to heaven. And guess what? I'm ready to go to heaven. Apparently, not quite yet, but I have to tell you this. Oh, I think I said it that morning, but I don't think that maybe I shouldn't say that. But I told Pablo that one day. No, I'm not going to say it. Okay, never mind. I love you all.
Let's come up to the front.
Oh, are you working?